In 1999, Baltimore newspaper man Dan Vesperman took a break from the strictures of journalism to write his first novel. Lie in the Dark told the story of Vlado Petric, a policeman in Sarajevo investigating murders in the midst of war. Vlado Petric is again the hero in Vesperman's new book, The Small Boat of Great Sorrows. This time, Petric is a refugee living in Berlin. As the book opens, Petric has found a job as a construction worker operating excavation equipment, rebuilding the area where the Berlin Wall once was.
Down in the mud of central Berlin, you never knew what you might find. Last week it had been an American bomb, as long and fat as a giant bratwurst. A poor fellow from Poland poked it with a shovel, and the whole thing went up. 5 more fatalities for the casualty lists of World War II, courtesy of a B-17 that hadn't flown for half a century. Then there was the corpse, or the skeleton, rather, that rose from the ground on the yellow teeth of a backhoe. Probably nobody famous, just a Russian from 1945 who never made it home, judging by the buttons, the boots, and the rusty helmet. 2 efficient men in sport coats and ties hauled him away in a black plastic bag.
That's Dan Vesperman, reading from the first page of his book. His protagonist, Vlado Petric, goes on digging into the past with deadly results. Vesperman says he didn't intend to continue Vlado's story into a second book, but his flight from Sarajevo to Berlin left too many unanswered questions for fans of the first novel.
People had asked me, well, what becomes of this guy? Because at the end of the last book, he sort of smuggles his way out on a cargo plane. And he ended up, like the fate of a lot of refugees, sort of feeling dislocated and at loose ends. He's a guy who likes to solve puzzles, figure out crimes, and he's working construction. So I wanted to put him back to good use. And there's so many tales when you do start digging into history there that dig into so many empires, so many horrible things in the 20th century history that you can explore. And so I wanted to use him as a way at getting into some of that.
Now, what happens to him is that there he is on his backhoe in Berlin, and the War Crimes Tribunal in The Hague, which is looking into crimes committed in Bosnia, comes after Petric to hire him.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Well, that's the question that he has. He can't figure it out. Why is this? There are plenty of cops still in Bosnia at their disposal, and he's a little puzzled and even a little worried by that, and it turns out, with good reason, because they have some hidden agendas going on there that he doesn't discover until it's a little too late.
They want him for a manhunt. They want him to find a particular war criminal.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of those places where real history
right.
and the novel intersect. Could you just give us some of the history that's involved here?
Yes. They're trying to find 2 people. One is a Serbian general who was associated with one of the worst massacres in the war at Srebrenica. He's hiding out over in eastern Bosnia in the French zone, in the zone controlled by the French army. And no one's being very aggressive about picking him up, as has often been the case over there. And so the French to go along with this are basically saying, all right, well, look, we're a little bit friendlier with the Serbs, and we'd like you to go pick up, even though it's not really in your aegis, we'd like you to at least arrange for the pickup of an old war criminal left over from World War II, an old Nazi collaborator who was on the Croatian side. This eventually is who Vlado is set after, and he finds out later there are some interesting and fairly bizarre and mysterious reasons why they have chosen him for this, which he isn't even aware of when they pick him up.
You pointed out that he's very cautious about doing this, and, mm-hmm. and he's kind of thinking that maybe he should not get involved back into the Balkans. I mean, he has a kind of inbuilt caution about
yes.
all of the complications and dangers that are involved in that place,
right?
And he does it anyway. Why does he do it anyway?
One reason is it gets him home. He's pretty homesick, so he finds it irresistible. It gets him back to his work. It gets him back to his home. And while he's not quite ready to take his family back there yet because of all of the dangers of the place, he's more than willing to go along.
Now, at some point, the investigation turns personal.
Yes.
Characters in the book say on several occasions, they say that always happens in the Balkans. What does that mean?
Well, family and village, you meet people there, and people speak of their hometowns as the end-all and be-all. You would meet people there who had been uprooted and had to move 20 miles down the road, and you'd think they had been moved to another culture and another country entirely. And your family means everything. Your family's been telling you about things that happened 50 years ago. You always wonder maybe what their real involvement was. Once you start going into your past or your country's past, it's all going to get personal pretty quickly.
So how do you see Vlado Petrić, your hero? Do you see him as standing apart, or do you see him as standing for a group or a point of view or something in this whole big stew?
He's one who has always tried to sort of stand apart, partly because of the work he does, where he needs a certain level of detachment and objectivity. But he's also tried to stand apart because he had come from what he thought, at least, was a mixed ethnic family. And so he was one of those Sarajevo people who thought that they were somewhat above all of the conflict and thought, this has nothing to do with me. The more he finds out, the more he realizes it has very much to do with him, and he's not comfortable with it.
You covered the siege of Sarajevo for the Baltimore Sun. And I'm sure you tried when you wrote your stories, as we tried when we did our stories, to keep explaining who's on what side why the killing happened and try to make all the agendas in the Balkans clear.
Yeah.
Why would you take this on in a novel?
Because in a novel, you can do it in the context of a story and in the context of characters. And you really don't have to spell it out. You don't have to sort of pause and say, okay, here are the sides. You can pretty much tell a story, and it's going to, anytime you tell a story about conflict, anytime you write a mystery, you're going to have different sides involved. In this type of story, the characters end up being on some of the sides they were in the war, but you don't feel like you're telling that kind of story. You still feel like you're writing a novel, like you're telling a tale.
Dan Vesperman's book is called The Small Boat of Great Sorrows. Dan, thanks for coming in.
Oh, thanks. It was my pleasure.